Hey, beautiful people. My name's Taylor, also known as Priceless Tay.
And I'm your co-host, Tania Rosario.
We want to welcome you back to What the
Finance. What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of WTF, your favorite podcast about money. I'm your co-host, Tania Rosario. Today, I'm here with Priceless Tay. And for this episode, WTF, let's meet Kelechi. So we're going to have a special guest for you guys so we can just relate about his story and learn from another human being that's extraordinary. So let's go ahead and just meet Kelechi. So I don't know if I say it right. Is your name Kelechi?
Yeah, that's actually very, very well said. It's closer to the way most people would say it. Most people say Kelechi, but it's Kelechi. Oh, you said it right.
You're
saying it right. So that's good. That's awesome.
All right. So let's hear about you, where you are from and what you do.
So like she said, my name is Kelechi. I am Nigerian born. I was raised in Nigeria and I moved here in 2006 or something like that. So moved to the United States. And right now I am an engineer. I work for a power company and I'm a finance nerd by night who likes to talk all things personal finance and investing. And that's basically what I do for the most part.
Can we ask how old you are?
I am 26.
Very cool.
26.
Okay, so you have a full-time job and you have a side hustle.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess you can see this as a side hustle. I just kind of started this doing all the finance stuff and talking about the podcast and TikTok and all this other stuff on just because I thought it would be an interesting thing to do. And I guess it's evolved from there. So, yeah.
It's so interesting because being an engineer, I guess it took you a lot of effort to get there with studying and stuff. So it's not a career that I guess you'd want to quit or whatever. Do you think like one day you'd want to mix them both? Do you have a vision or do you want to quit it? Or
I doubt that I'll quit being an engineer because I really enjoy what I do on a day-to-day basis. But at the same time, if this grows to be something bigger than what my day job is, then possibly. But as of right now, I just love doing both of them. It's kind of engineering is a passion thing for me. And I've always enjoyed doing it. So,
and the side hustle is for the money. So I want to start picking your brains. Tell us about your finance story. I know you kind of started off with you love personal finance and investing. So tell us from the day you were born to where you are now, how was it growing up in your household? Was money something that was talked about? Did you learn about it in school? Did you learn online? Was it something that your friends talked with other friends about? Let's hear it, Kelechi.
So money in my household was never really something we talked about per se. I mean, my mom generally made everybody kind of save for whatever you wanted. We didn't get an allowance. If you wanted something, you got to go work and then you get paid for that. That's basically how I was growing up. But when I got to college, I had a friend who was big into all of like investing and all this stuff, but I never really took it seriously. But it wasn't until after I got out of college and got into a boatload of debt, which that's a whole
student
story.
Student loans.
Not student loans, actually. I graduated without any loans, which is like a crazy thing. I graduated without any loans, scholarships, and all that stuff. So coming out of college, it was like free ride. And then I just started wasting money, got my first job. And then it was like, oh, yeah, I can afford anything. Like, you know, new car, new shoes, new clothes, doing all the dumb stuff that you do as a 20-something-year-old that just got a bunch of money. And then all of a sudden, I see a bank balance, credit card balance of like $20,000 that I need to pay back. And it's like, whoa, what is going on over here? And then I found out about Dave Ramsey. And that just kind of started me on the journey about learning how to manage money and learning how to pay off debt and learning how to balance my accounts and all those kind of things. So that's how I got started learning about personal finance. And then from there, it spiraled. You can't just stay on the personal finance trail because you figure out, oh, what's this thing about investing again? And
right.
Then you start figuring out and learning about investing. And then that's just taking me on a whole other path. So yeah, that's basically my general story.
I like it. I like the fact that you mentioned about when you had done college and then you decided to spend. It's funny because people think when they receive like their full salary that it's just like they can spend it. And then this is where the quote says like you can make $100,000 and be broke, or you can make like $30,000 and be rich too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's basically how you manage.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was talking to somebody and it's the idea of, we were just discussing money and everything. And money is more about a mentality than it is about anything else, to be honest. If you, like you said, if you have $30,000, but you're finding a way to save $15,000, then you're rich because you're able to invest that money and do other things with it. Mm-hmm. But if you have $100,000 and you're spending all of it, then you're just digging yourself in a deeper hole. And as Warren Buffett says, if you don't find a way to make money while you sleep, you're going to be working for the rest of your life. So, it's definitely true of like learning how to manage your finances in ways that works for you in the best possible light. So, yeah.
Would you say that you learn strictly from Dave Ramsey and other online internet gurus about personal finance, or have you picked up some books? Has anybody in your life personally been influential in the way that you kind of present yourself today? Because you're on an amazing track, bro. Like, I can tell you by how many people, and not to shade anybody, I love all you guys listening to this right now, but it's so fascinating where people are at in their financial lives. And from what you're kind of showing us and sharing your story, it's really, really cool. So tell the people like how you actually like learned from this. Was it through more of, like I said, the online, through books? If so, plug in some of those books. Like,
all right. So it started off with Dave Ramsey. At my church, we had like a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University thing. Mm-hmm. And even the story of me getting back on track with that was like, I left church and I forgot all about it. It was like, you get all the materials and it just collects dust in a corner somewhere until you need it or until you figure out like, oh man, I need to figure out what I'm doing with my life. And then I went back and picked it up and that got me started. But then it's one of those things where you start learning more information, because once you start learning, you go online and you start figuring out about other channels and about other YouTubers, and you start learning some of the tricks of the trade of how do I budget? How do I invest my money easily? How do I learn more about tracking my expenses? Those kind of things, which are like the basic stuff. But then when it comes to investing, I have a bunch of books somewhere in here that I could probably grab up. And I'll say I started off with a book called I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi, I think is how you say his name. I can never say it well. And I love the way he puts stuff in there. And that book was basically, it just made it simpler. And then he also spoke to me being a millennial. He just spoke directly to my heart of like, you don't have to do it the same way that Dave Ramsey has been showing you. And there's like another way that you can possibly do it. And so I started reading that book. And then from there, it went into another book called The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham.
We love that. Yes.
That book was hard to read. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
It's hard to read to just learn investing.
Book. I've never seen it or read it, but I've heard like it's a solid book.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff. But then when I read that book, I was still like, I still have no idea what I'm doing. Then I read another book called Learn to Earn by a guy named I'm looking at it right now, by a guy named Peter Lynch, who is one of the greatest investors of all time. And those books kind of formed my thought process as far as investing. But as far as personal finance, has been Ramit Sethi and Dave Ramsey, just because personal finance, once you understand it, it's very basic, because then it just comes down to doing it the same thing over and over and over again. And it's just learning those basic concepts. And then from there, you're basically set.
Yeah, I have a follow-up question. So I do quite a lot of TikToks, one subject being credit. Yeah. And I've gotten a lot of controversy on, especially Dave Ramsey, with no credit, no good debt, no bad debt, no whatsoever. And so I just want to hear your point of view. Do you have credit? I know that's how kind of you started spending. Like, are you afraid of credit now because of that incident? Like, what's your story with credit?
So yes, I'm definitely afraid of debt in general. Yeah. I don't like debt, especially because of my history. However, I went to the path of like no credit cards, no nothing. Like I completely went out of that path because I was just like, I can't play with it. But then I've learned tactics to make it work for me without me actually actively using it. Like I have a credit card, but I can't tell you where it is because I cut it up or I threw it away. I don't know where it is. I can't tell you where it is. However, I found out that there's another way you can just set stuff up, because everything does automatic payments now, where I literally just put one bill on the credit card,
yep,
and that's it. And like, and I just let that ride. Like I put a Spotify bill on my credit card and I just let that thing ride. But I'm still anti-credit, but I realized the necessity of credit, even though there's ways to bypass it. And for the longest time, I was able to bypass it to get houses and all this other stuff. But there's still like, it makes it easier. It just, because our world runs on credit, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But that's how the world works right now, is it needs credit. And if you can play the game the right way, you can always win. But for most people who are like me, and when we see or we think we're getting free money and we just be swiping left and right, I always advise, just if you can't deal with it, avoid it. It's just better. It's better for you to have no credit than to have bad credit, is the way that I always view it.
See, that's extremely funny, because I'm pro credit, yeah, for many reasons, but sometimes I have to put myself in someone else's shoes, where I know for the general population, it's hard to manage credit. It's not because for me, it's easy and I can get through credit with a good score and everything, that it's easy for everyone. So credit is something to be careful with, that's for sure. And so, that's
it's like a double-edged sword. But the problem with a double-edged sword is it feels like the edge that's pointed at you is a lot more sharper than the edge that's pointed at the world. And so it's just kind of like, you have to be very careful how you're using it. It's a great tool and it definitely can open doors for you, but you have to know what it is that you're doing whenever you're playing with those games. So
I love to hear you talk. You're so smart. I love it. Moving forward, I guess, like you mentioned, your favorite field of finance was probably investing, right?
Yep. I love investing.
And so then what's your biggest accomplishment in finance? Do you know? Was it like to pay off that debt?
I think the debt is my biggest accomplishment as of right now. The next step is houses, which is, it feels like it's kind of like taking the steps of life. It's like you get rid of debt, you start investing, but then until you hit like a huge milestone in investing, it's like, it's just kind of happening in the background. But then the next step for me is house. It's like, I want to own properties. So, so that's definitely where I'm heading to. And that's like sometime this year, hopefully by the grace of God, that I'm gonna be able to get to that point. So.
Oh yeah.
Are you looking at multifamily houses, like real estate properties, or just personal house? Do you want to get out of wherever you are and settle down?
So I'm not sure yet. It depends on the price. Everything comes down to the price for me. Cause I would love to do a multifamily just so that I don't have somebody living with me, because I want to live by myself. I mean, I've lived by myself for a long time and I'm so used to living by myself. And I actually just moved in with a friend of mine just because I was like, hey, we can both make our rent a lot cheaper and let's move in together. So we did that, but it's still not the same as living by yourself. But if the price is not good, I'm just going to go with a single family home and get a roommate and just live it that way, because it'll be cheaper and all that kind of stuff.
Smart. Yeah. Saving money.
Yeah. You got to find ways to finesse the system in your benefit.
Yeah. So going on to that, we have a juicy question for you, which is, what is a financial lesson you learned? And for our audience, what do you think that they would benefit most from that lesson?
I think the biggest lesson that I've learned is start with a plan and then know your why. I love a guy named Simon Sinek. He wrote a book called Start With Why. And I love that book. Like, that book completely changed the trajectory of how I like think about everything. Because if you start with your why, you'll be able to guide yourself through whatever circumstance shows up. Because when you're going through this road, especially when it comes to personal finance or just life in general, you're going to be met with a lot of roadblocks. And to be able to push through those roadblocks, you need to have some kind of deep reason as to why you're chasing whatever it is you're chasing. So I'll just say, for anybody that's like starting off with like asking the question of like, how do I get better with finance? I'll say, start with the goal in mind. And then why do you want that goal? Right. If it's like, I want to be a millionaire, it's like, why do you want to be a millionaire? Like, what is the thing about being a millionaire that makes it so alluring? And once you dive into deep into the reason for that, and then it just makes life so much easier. And then the second part of that is just make a plan. Somebody told me a quote one time, and it was basically, planning is pointless, but making a plan is valuable. And it's basically because life will throw anything at you, and plans can be useless, but it can still help you guide you through whatever is going on. So whatever you're trying to do, just make some kind of a plan to ensure that you can get to the goals that you want to get to.
I absolutely love that. I always say to everybody, a failure to plan is a plan for failure by Benjamin Franklin. And I grew up my mom saying that. And so it's so great to hear you as well to talk about why it's so important to know your why. And from that, you can really create this plan that will help you get to that why.
Yeah.
Same. Definitely. I always say to people that the first thing they need to do anything, is have a goal. So if you want to save, well, know why you want to save. Like if you save for no reason, chances are you'll fail. But if you save because you want to travel or for real estate or to pay out your debts, that now you know why, and it's just going to motivate you. So for me, it's like, like we're in sync.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. It's like, I talk to a lot of my friends about like, just as you go through life, and now a lot of my friends are getting married and having kids, and it's like their whole trajectory has changed and the way they view life has completely changed from when we were in college. But the same thing they tell their kids now is like, make a plan. Why do you want this thing? It's like the same questions we ask ourselves now is the same questions they're asking the like 2-year-old, like, why do you want that? And you get down to the base point of like, oh, this is why I want this thing. And it's like, once they're firm about something, you can see it in little kids. Once they're firm about something, they're basically, they can run through a brick wall and they don't care. So
I love that. So you're ready for the little game? There's no right or wrong answers. Just we want to know, like, what would you pick for yourself? And maybe why, if you can.
It's called This or That.
This or that. It's Taylor's game. So first question, if you'd want to have more money in the end of the month, would you increase your revenues or reduce your expenses?
Increase revenue, because it's kind of there's only so much you can cut out before you start bleeding. So
that's 100% true. It's a very, very important aspect of business.
Yep. I mean, I would say to start off, if I was still spending all kinds of money, I would say start off with reducing my expenses. But at this point I'm at now, it's all about increasing revenue.
I think that it's hard sometimes to increase your revenue. I think it's easier to reduce your expenses.
Definitely.
But yeah, it really depends on the person. Yeah. So love your answer. Question number two. Well, I think I know the answer, but just in case. So would you self-direct your investment? Would you pick yourself the stocks you put and you buy in your portfolio? Or would you let someone else, the bank or whatever, manage it for you?
Can I pick option C, both?
Oh, yeah?
Because, I mean, I'm not that smart. So I know I'm going to do dumb stuff. And I don't know, have you guys heard of the 80-20 rule?
Yeah.
And basically, yeah. So the 80-20 rule,
explain it to the followers, yeah.
Okay. Basically, it's 80% of your results comes from 20% of your efforts, and vice versa as well. So for me, I would rather people who knows these things a lot more than I do to manage a lot more of my money, which is why I just basically, for most of my money, it's like tracked index funds or ETFs and those kind of things. But then on the other side, the 20% is now like I can get extremely risky with it. I can do the GameStop plays and option trading and day trading and all this other stuff, because I know like most of my money is basically secure and being managed properly. So the other half, I can like do other stuff with it that I would not recommend most people do, because it's extremely risky and you lose money. So there's that. So I think both, because I'm just not that smart.
So it's all about managing your risk, like you said. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's something I'm learning, is investing is less about the reward and more about the risk. It's more about managing and learning how to manage your risk than it is about getting a 2000% return. Because if you lose all your money the very next day, it doesn't matter.
We might need a third co-host after this episode.
Perfect. So last question. You go on vacation this summer 2021. Let's say it's possible. Would you save for it?
By the grace of God, it will be.
Now, or would you just go ahead and borrow money?
Oh, easy answer. Save. Like, you don't borrow to do stuff that is just an expense. Like, nah.
I was thinking about it, that actually if you borrow money for your expense, well, then you have to pay it every month, whatever. But then you can use that, let's say $5K to go invest it. It could be a possibility, but people sometimes will have a hard time to do that. That's the problem.
It just depends. Like, I always manage risk based on like, what's the interest rate that I'm getting on a credit card? Like what, 20% interest rate. And then basically in the stock market, a good year is like a 20% return. And so balancing those two risks, or a good year is 10%. And so balancing those two numbers, I'm just kind of like, if I don't have the cash to spend on something, I'm not going to do it. But if it's like a business expense, then definitely, because the ROI on that is way higher. And so, I mean, but for a vacation, unless somebody else is paying for it, I'm saving for that thing. And that's just...
I've always saved for my vacation. What about you, Tay?
I would rather prefer to just stay home and relax and chill. And I don't know, after quarantine, it's like, I don't really like going places. And so I'd rather invest. And then maybe when the doors open up even more, that would be a point of conversation. But I always feel like I'm working, even when I'm on vacation. So nonstop.
Wow, running a business is a lot of work.
Yeah.
All right, Kelechi, it was so fun to have you here. Although you. After this episode, people need to go listen to your podcast. So tell us about that.
So you can check out the Ramblin' Mind podcast. We talk all things personal finance, investing, and then business news. Because like I say, it's good to know what's happening in the world to know how it's affecting the dollars in your pockets. Because as much as, like I was saying earlier, once you start learning to invest in personal finance, you got to pay attention to what's going on around you to know how it affects you. So on Tuesdays, we talk personal finance and investing. And on Thursdays, we talk about all things business news and how that's affecting us. And sometimes we dabble in politics because it's always interesting.
Spicy. What are your socials?
You can hit me up on Twitter at Kelechi Waba. You can reach me on TikTok at Kelechi Waba. And you can reach me on Instagram at Kelechi Waba. Or you can just go to my website, ramblingmindshow.com, and you have all the links to everything. So
awesome. It was such a pleasure meeting you. Just to recap, he's only 26. He's full-time engineer right now. He has a side hustle. He has a podcast, guys. All of this stuff is attainable. And Kelechi just goes to show that everything is possible. He's not originally from the United States. He's born in Nigeria. And so Kelechi, you're seriously one of a kind. Thank you so much for being on the show. And you know, I'm going to listen to the Rambling Minds podcast after this.
Thank you. Check it out. Oh, and just a heads up for anybody who listens to it, turn your volume down a little bit because it gets loud. So,
oh, yeah.
It gets heated.
It gets loud.
All right.
A little bit.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you guys next Thursday. Bye.
You've been listening to WTF, What the
Finance,
with the one and only
Teddy Rosarian,
and last but not least, Taylor Price. Make sure to receive all of the updates on WTF by texting WTF to 424-226-5797. Message and rates may apply.